This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
I've had fun looking at technology going on around the world this week. I was looking at the this. I'll talk about these later in the show. The solar ladies. They're actually selling solar equipment in Africa.
I've not heard of this.
They call them the Solar Sisters. The Solar Sisters.
Okay.
And we're gonna get to that website of the week that I mentioned last time. I didn't get to it. The plus grade. How you can upgrade your seat to business class while you're sitting there on the plane.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, ad blocking is really getting some notoriety because in some countries, up to 40% of the ads are blocked.
Really?
And on game sites, nearly 90% of the ads are blocked.
Because of content or?
No, because of ad blocking software.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is the digital advertising companies are billing... billing the companies for these ads that are blocked.
That's a problem.
It's a problem. That's right. Thieves have figured out a way how to jam the key to your car so you can't lock it in the parking lot. And so I'll talk about that. That is actually a problem. You can actually jam an entire parking lot and people can't lock their car.
And that
car.
Way you can just go from car to car and take what you want or take the cars themselves,
so,
I guess.
I'm just trying to bring all of these things that we need to worry about.
You know,
this is just
it's Saturday. It's supposed to be light and breezy and, you know, rainbows and unicorns and stuff,
yeah,
and you're bringing everybody
down.
I'm
bringing all of this stuff up. Also, Google looked at all the security questions that they ask, and they've discovered how bad they are and so easy to guess. So that's it. And today I'm going to feature the guy who was the co-founder of Blogger and then of Twitter, Evan Clark Williams. His mom was worried about him because he also dropped out of college.
This is a frequent theme.
It is, but he made a boatload of money. And it was a huge, huge mailbag.
Gigundous.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, let's bring it up here. Oh. These emails are getting heavier every week.
People are writing on lead paper,
and Mr. Big Voice is not helping at all.
No, well, you wouldn't expect that.
No, we got an email from David in Ohio. Dear Tech Talk, a whole group of us listen to your show here in Ohio, and we love
yes,
it.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what David is doing with that bunch there, but, you know, I hope he's surviving. I thought that I would finally ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
We love to watch TV in the basement. I could figure that.
These are basement TV watchers partiers.
These guys spend a lot of time in the basement. I can see that. Well, we love to watch TV in the basement, especially Netflix. I heard you talking about this dual-band router last week, and I was wondering, should I use a 5.0 gigahertz Wi-Fi in my basement for the TV? Sometimes I get buffering problems when watching a show. We all love the podcast in Ohio, David.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, because they're up at night watching TV, they're sleeping now. They can't listen.
There is no way that they
can. No.
Yeah, the crickets are creeping there around there at 9 a.m. in the morning. They're all asleep. Well, I'll tell you, David, I actually had the same question because after we had that big discussion about dual band routers, I decided to try one out. I bought one last week.
Did you really? Did you buy the one you showed me?
I bought the TP-Link Archer C9.
Okay.
I got a typo there. C9. It's the AC1900. It's a dual band router, $143 from Amazon. This router, I mean, so now I've got at home three Wi-Fi networks. I've got the one that came with Verizon, and I've got the two Wi-Fi networks that came with this new router. One is at 2.4 gigahertz, and one's at 1300 mega. One's at 5.8 gigahertz. The one at 2.4 gigahertz has a 16 megabit per second throughput. It's much faster than the old Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And the throughput at 5.8 gigahertz is 1,300 megabits per second. So it's pretty fast. It also has got two USB ports, a USB 2.0, USB 3.0. So I could plug an external hard drive into that, and all of a sudden, I could actually access that hard drive from any computer on the network. So it has three antennas on it, three dual-band antennas. And what it does, when it finally picks up a signal, it adjusts the phase going to the three antennas, and through interference effects, it does beamforming, sort of like radio stations do,
right,
with three antennas. It actually does beamforming.
It's like a directional AM signal.
Yeah, and it sort of then focuses the energy onto your device once it gets a connection.
Hmm.
So what happened was I have a smart TV. You know, I didn't
really. Of course you do.
Because
you're a smart guy, and you're Mr. Technology.
Of course, I'll have a smart TV because I just want to have a smart TV. But I never really checked on it. And sure enough, I opened up the Samsung smart TV. It detected the 5.8 gigahertz signal.
Huh.
So I logged into the thing, and I had been having buffering problems with Netflix. Once I went to this 5.8 gigahertz signal, gone.
Rock solid, huh?
It was gone. And moreover, at the 2.4 gigahertz signal that I was getting to my laptop,
uh-huh,
I had five times the throughput than I did with the old Verizon wireless.
No kidding.
So I think I got to go back to Verizon because I've had that access point for maybe 5-6 years. I think it's so old that it's old Wi-Fi technology. And so getting fiber optic to the house when you've got this crummy Wi-Fi network is useless.
You have Verizon?
Verizon.
Okay.
Verizon Fios.
I have Comcast. Okay. Yeah, don't even get me started.
So this thing is actually quite nice. And so now, and so I could attach my iPhone attached to 5.8 gigahertz. My old iPad 2 attached to 5.8 gigahertz.
That's a very good question.
I was actually amazed.
I have one of them going to get it. It's actually right here. I have one of the original iPad minis. That's a good question. I wonder if that will work on 5.8.
I was surprised the iPad 2 worked. Now the iPhone 4 won't work on it. So I tell you, so immediately I just watched a movie. And it was and so I've got to say, I'm really happy. Now what I did, I got this new router and I just plugged it into the Ethernet port on the back of my old router.
Uh-huh.
And at some point I'll just turn off the Wi-Fi signal on the old router. Maybe I'll order a new router. But I think this is a nice, and it's really a very attractive looking unit.
And this works all over the house, right?
Yeah.
So you haven't had any troubles you get some distance from it?
I haven't had any trouble. I haven't gone down to the furthest, you know, reaches of the basement yet.
All right. Now, here's the real test is when your son comes over and starts downloading music, as he is wont to do,
yeah,
and he starts, you know, just banging away at it,
yeah,
what happens to the rest of it?
I do MAC address filtering so he can't get on.
I think for our purposes, there needs to be a test.
Yes.
I think you need to let him do this once
and see
how it works.
I will try it. So now, you see the thing, there's a lot of stuff at 2.4 gigahertz. My telephone system's at 2.4 gigahertz. There's a lot of stuff in the house that operates at 2.4 gigahertz.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wireless things. And not that many things are at 5.8. And the other thing is, so I'm thinking this router is a router that's going to work for you.
I think you're probably right.
But it's $143.
That's okay.
It's not. And then you can test it out. If it doesn't work,
well,
send it back. Because Amazon
will take it back. But yeah. I think it's going to be less frustrating for me because I do a lot of Wi-Fi. And it would be helpful. Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Something else that I'd seen going through Amazon, mm-hmm, in looking for the routers, mm-hmm, they sell the extenders, something that you plug into the wall to extend your Wi-Fi coverage.
Yeah.
If you buy something like that, does it have to be the same? Does it have to be specific to that Wi-Fi unit that you've gotten, or will
mm-hmm
it?
No, that because Wi-Fi technology, it's a standard.
Okay,
so that extender works, but you still have the same bandwidth issues.
The reason I ask this is because I have trouble at work, and there's no way I'm going to be able to get these guys to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got my own Wi-Fi extender that I plugged into the wall in my room, that might actually help me out.
Now, what I did, I actually have a USB 10 dB antenna with a Wi-Fi radio and 100, which is really powerful radio, 1,000 megawatts. Radio.
You could fry eggs with that.
And I'm telling you, I turn that baby on, and the signal strength to my laptop is incredible. And so normally when I'm at home, I only pick up my own Wi-Fi network and maybe my neighbors. When I plug that baby in, I pick up about 25 Wi-Fi access points around the neighborhood.
That's amazing.
So and so you could.
But that's not a problem for you then.
It's not a problem, but I'm just like doing research.
Yes, you are.
I'm doing research to play with different kind of devices.
We'll call it that.
But this is only at 2.4 gigahertz.
Mm-hmm.
But if you would plug a device like that into your laptop USB port, you would probably just blast through and get the signal there without a problem.
Interesting.
So there are all kinds of different options, but I like this email from David about the 5.8 gigahertz because I had just done it yesterday.
Good for you. I haven't finished doing all the testing I need to do on my system.
Yeah, because you haven't put the tinfoil up yet.
I haven't done. Well, see, what I have a TV tray table that has this galvanized steel.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm thinking about doing is taking that and sitting the Wi-Fi router in the tray. Because, thinking about this, I'm on the fourth floor of an apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
The router is up against the window.
Mm-hmm.
The other side away from me faces a courtyard. So basically my interference, I think, is coming from below and from side to side. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about sitting it in this metal container and then blocking off the sides and see what I get.
Yeah, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about shielding these other access points any way you can. And you've got to be careful. These antennas are basically, if you put it right on a metal surface, it might have a ground plane which is not properly oriented. I don't know how the antennas are oriented.
You can't tell because it's inside the unit. That's a good point.
It's inside the unit. So you may want to test it. Put it on it, but then space it a little bit. See if that makes a difference.
Sure.
So you're going to do some RF, antenna design work here. But I'm telling you, this thing with these three antennas, and then if I want a higher gain antenna, I can just—they just unscrew. They're the standard connections.
Yeah.
So I could put these.
I like this idea a lot.
So these are, and the thing about 5.8 gigahertz, there are 23 channels that are non-overlapping.
They're all clear.
And yeah, they're all clear. They don't interfere with each other, and it's unlikely that you're going to have 23 neighbors on 5.3 gigahertz who are using every one of the other channels. You'll be able to find a free channel without a problem at all.
I have a funny feeling that it's something I'm not going to find a whole lot of in my building as it is.
Yeah, and so this thing about everybody in apartments is now moving to 5.8 gigahertz because 2.4 gigahertz just doesn't work in apartments because there's just too much overlap.
Yeah.
And 5.8, there are enough independent channels that you're never going to pick up more than 23 apartments in an apartment house. So actually 5.8 gigahertz is a pretty good choice overall. So
good.
I really did like this particular unit. And I like these two USB ports. I never thought of – I just plugged my external hard drive in, my 1 terahertz external hard drive. I've got all of my songs on it.
Okay.
So now I can play my songs from this central hard drive, which is just plugged into my router.
It's plugged into the Wi-Fi router.
Yeah.
So you can access it on a device anywhere in the house then.
Anywhere in the house. Or else suppose I want to put that music in my iTunes library on a different device. I can simply open up iTunes in a different device, and I can have it search for that external hard drive, and it will pull all the music right into it. And that music will then be owned by that device.
Well,
it allows me to
move. Without you circumnavigate the Apple system where they limit you to the devices, right?
I'm circumventing. But this is all music that I bought.
Exactly. That's the thing.
I personally don't like them limiting me. And I resent that. So I have all kinds of workarounds on this whole Apple
iTunes. You are
selling
me on this.
Yeah.
That's another, because I've got, don't even get me started on my iTunes mess.
So there you go.
Doc, you're a genius.
We got an email from Hawk in Bowie. Dear Doc and Jim, I recently upgraded to an iPhone 6, and I backed up my iPhone 5 to my computer. However, none of the party pictures or songs transferred to the new iPhone.
She needs a 5.8 gigahertz yeah. router is what she needs.
By the way, I still have my old iPhone, and the data's still available. I mean, what are my options? I want to get these pictures over to the other iPhone. Love the show, Hawk and Bowie. Well, Hawk, this is the deal. Backing up your iPhone is not the same as syncing your music and your photos. When you back up your iPhone, you basically back up the configuration, all your passwords. You back up your apps, but data like photos and music are not backed up. What you do when you attach your iPhone to the iTunes to iTunes on your computer, you have to click the sync button. And on pictures, and it will sync all your photos to your iTunes account in your laptop. But if you don't click the sync button, you're not going to get the picture. So I'm going to think that you didn't click the sync button. I'm also thinking you didn't click the sync button on your music. So you did. So what was on your iPhone was actually not what was in your iTunes library. So I would go back. I'd take your old phone, and I would sync it, and then. Because your still is going to be attached to the same iTunes account. And then take your new phone, which then should be attached to the same iTunes account. And when you sync the photos and pictures there, they'll all just swoop right into your new phone. It's not going to be really a problem. But this is a very common problem. People get confused on how to transfer their pictures. Now, what I did for Marianne is she always had this problem. I just basically paid more money to increase her iCloud account. I took her up to 15 gigabytes.
I did the same thing.
And now I just have her sync all of her photos to iCloud automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So then, and I just forgot about music. It's too hard to keep the music with her. So I just said, listen, you're going to have to just use Pandora, which is so convenient anyway.
Yeah.
So then when she got a new iPhone, everything just synced up in like, it took about 30 minutes to her all synchronized, but then it was done.
Amazing.
And the beauty is, I didn't have to do anything, which is, of course, what it's all about.
It's all about that. We were just talking about the Apple iPad and 5 gig.
Mm-hmm.
Original iPads will work on 5 gig. And first generation Apple TV.
Wow.
Yes.
So this is clearly the way to go.
And, yeah, it is.
And then you'll be all set up for your smart TV when you get it. Do you have a smart TV yet?
I don't think it's a smart TV, but I'll let you know.
You can check on that.
I don't think it is, but it's got a place where I could stick a dongle in. See, this is all part of what I'm going to get rid of Comcast, except for the internet.
Now, this was speaking of dongles. Mm-hmm. What I discovered was, I have Chromecast, which is for Netflix on my other TV,
and you need a dongle for that stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Chromecast does not support 5.8 gigahertz. It's only 2.4 gigahertz.
You're kidding?
I was crushed. And so, and then I went online, and I'm telling you, people are teed off about it.
I'll bet.
They're telling, Google, upgrade Chromecast to 5.8 gigahertz. So that was the other thing that I discovered.
That's
that,
a shame. I have a Blu-ray box, so that's a good. I have that hardwired into.
The Blu-ray box may support 5.8 gigahertz.
Let's find out, shall we?
Let
me check into that.
I'm thinking your Blu-ray supports 5.8 gigs.
But because of the slow speeds I was having, I just ran Cat 5 cable from the Blu-ray box into the Wi-Fi tower.
Jim, it's a matter of principle. It's a matter of principle, Jim. You cannot accept defeat.
If you have the 5.8, everything's gone wireless. All the cables are going away.
That's right.
There you go.
Then don't tell any of your neighbors that you have 5.8 gigahertz. Don't tell them. Don't tell anybody that it's working.
I don't know my neighbors. I work such weird hours. I don't see anybody.
Okay, that's perfect. That's
exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly.
That's perfect. We got an email from Alice in Reston. Dear Doc and Jim, my computer switches to a blank screen after about 5 to 15 minutes. Then I have to turn it off to get another 5 to 15 minutes of use. What's causing this blackout? Love the show, Alice in Reston. Well, Alice, probably, when I look at these kind of things, the most common problem is overheating. That's what very frequently you get a device which overheats. And as soon as it overheats, it just crashes. If you've got, an older computer, some of the vents may be completely covered with dust and stuff. So you might want to open it up and then vacuum it out and get rid of all that dust so you have unobstructed airflow in the unit. That's the first thing I would check for. If you've got a and you make certain that you're not storing the computer inside of a cabinet, make certain there's good ventilation around it and all of that. Now, you could have hardware failure, and mostly when I had, because you know I used to fix all my own stuff. Now I've just
you can't do that anymore. Can
no,
you?
No, you can't. And plus, I've just
Smart.
I don't do anything anymore.
I want it with extra parts when I do this.
Jim, I just talk about it now. But when I but when I used to fix my own stuff. Frequently, you know, if it after 5 to 15 minutes it starts failing, it's very frequently a power supply.
Uh-huh.
And so most often it would be the power supply that would fail, usually one of the switching capacitors or something. So I would end up replacing power supplies. And that was the most common fail point in computers, the power supply.
Interesting.
So that's what I would look at next. Then if you've got a laptop, see, she didn't really say if she had a laptop or a desktop. This is the problem with this particular letter. Okay, if you've got a laptop, it could be going into standby or hibernate mode, you know, as part of the power saving
functions.
And that's
a simple fix.
That's a simple fix. And so you've got to bring it back. And so you could go back in there and modify that. So those would be your three options that I would look at. Hopefully it's going to be the last one, which will be really easy to fix. Yeah. Actually, there's nothing to fix. You just adjust your hibernate times so that you stay on longer before it goes into hibernation. We got an email from Ian in Greenbelt. Dear Tech Talk, I keep getting programs installed on my computer that I never wanted.
Uh-oh.
Can I clean up this mess? It's slowing down my computer. It's becoming annoying. Listen every Saturday, Ian in Greenbelt. Well, Ian, this is actually a common problem where vendors are tricking you. So you might download something, and it says you want to take the default configuration, and you say yes, and you're at that point agreeing to download a bunch of other programs that they get paid to have you download. Every time one of those other programs is downloaded, they get paid. So I call it. You know, the technical name for that is crapware.
Yes.
And so what you have to do when you're downloading, when you're downloading a program or you're updating a program, instead of taking the default settings and just saying yes, you go to custom install. And then when you go to custom install, you choose exactly what you want and you just make certain to only download the program that you want and uncheck everything else. That's the first thing you do. I mean, the good news is, most of that software is not downloaded until you give it permission, and you're probably giving it permission because you didn't really ask for it. Now, the good news is there are a whole bunch of toolbars. I hate like that there's an ask toolbar that shows up, which they're always trying to get that on your computer. I hate that.
Yeah.
So there are always other people who asked me to fix up their computer, the first thing I do is get rid of that. I'll get rid of all those toolbars. So you want to go into your control panel, and then you go to programs and features, and you look through anything that says toolbar on it, just uninstall it. That's the first thing. You know, you right-click on the item and click uninstall. You get rid of any kind of software that you don't recognize through the normal uninstall process. Now, some of these, they just don't allow you to uninstall them properly because they're like improper installations.
Yeah, there's a way to do it wrong.
So you can go to Malwarebytes. This is what I like. I like Malwarebytes, Malwarebytes, Malwarebytes. You can download and install the free version. Now, don't select the free trial of the premium product because that actually costs money as soon as the trial period's up.
Ah.
Get the free version and it's free forever.
Huh.
That's the trick. They'll say, do you want the free version of the premium? And it's a 30-day, and then after 30 days it expires, and then you have to pay for it. So just get the free version. It's good enough. And you just scan with Malwarebytes, and it will locate and give you a list of malware that it has located. These would be some of these programs that you downloaded that wouldn't install properly, and then it'll get rid of that. So that that should pretty much do it for you. It doesn't sound like this is a major problem, just a major annoyance for you. Listen, we love your emails.
We do indeed.
Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. We'll cover your emails on the show, and we may even answer an email personally.
Absolutely. If it's a big, urgent enough problem, people
indeed
do that. This is Tech Talk Radio, heard every Saturday on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.9 FM HD2. Stand by. More Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment. What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to feature Evan Clark Williams.
He has
Evan,
a three-name people.
That's just as his mother's called.
Right.
You know. His friends called him Ev, by the way. Ev Williams,
really?
Yeah. But his mother, Evan Clark Williams, he's an American computer programmer and internet entrepreneur who co-founded many internet companies, including two that I'm certain you've heard of, Blogger and Twitter.
Oh, yes.
Evan Clark Williams was born March 31st, 1972 in Nebraska. He grew up on a farm in Clarks, Nebraska, and he assisted with crop irrigation in the summers.
Hmm.
He's a farm boy. He attended University of Nebraska at Lincoln for a year and a half. While he was there, he joined the farmhouse fraternity. I'm thinking the farmhouse fraternity.
That sounds a little scary.
That sounds ominous, doesn't it? After a year and a half, he came home to the farm and he said, "Mom, I think I'm going to have to drop out of college because I think I can make way. I think I can do something else with my life." And his mom was crushed.
She said, "Evan Clark Williams, stay in school.
Evan Clark, I'm really disappointed in you." And he says, "Mom, I got to go." So he left school, and then he had various technology jobs and working at startup firms. First of all, he got a job in Key West, Florida. And his mom said,
"Okay, not bad."
His mom said, "Evan Clark, are you sure that you're trying to start a career going down to Key West, Florida?"
Key West is a hotbed of IT. No, it's not.
It isn't. No, I've been there. It's a hotbed, but it's not a hotbed of IT.
Hotbed of alcohol.
That's right. Then he moved to Dallas, and then he moved to Austin, Texas, and finally in 1996. He moved to California. How do you pronounce that? Sebastopol. Sebastopol. He moved to Sebastopol, California.
Mr. Geography here.
Thank you. And he worked for O'Reilly Media. Now, O'Reilly Media writes all of these technical books. It's the top technical producer of IT books like Java programming and all. And O'Reilly, he goes to all of the – he's a big supporter of the open source software movement. So it's a big supporter of the tech community. So going to O'Reilly Media, you're sort of at the ground central for technology development.
Mm-hmm.
So he started working in marketing at O'Reilly, but he eventually became an independent contractor and started writing code for them as an independent contractor. And then he started doing freelance coding jobs for Intel and Hewlett-Packard. He was still trying to find his way, and his mom would call Evan Clark up on the weekend and say, Evan, have you found it?
She'd say Evan Clark.
Evan Clark, have you found your calling? He said, well, Mom, just give me a chance. I got some freelance work. I'm working on it. Something's coming on, you know. California here, nice place. He said, I know Evan Clark. I know you're in California, but I'm worried about you. So in 1999, he and Meg Horahan co-founded Pyra Labs, and they were writing project management software. As part of this project management software, they had a note-taking feature, which he had been working on, and they spun this off as a separate company called Blogger. And this was one of the first applications for creating weblogs. And in fact, Williams invented the term blogger, which of course is for Stan Blogger, you know, and he popularized the term blog. So he was right at the forefront of blogging with this company called Blogger. Pyra was eventually acquired by Google February 13th, 2003. And then Pyra, along with Blogger, was hired by Google. Then Williams left Google in October 2004 and co-founded Odeo, which was a podcasting company. Now, Odeo, and so they started working on that. And around 2006, a couple of years later, Williams, along with Biz Stone and some other Odeo employees, decided to form another company called Obvious Corporation. I'm thinking of Captain Obvious in those.
Yes, I love those commercials.
So
they don't need me now.
So he founded the Obvious Corporation, and then the Obvious Corporation bought all the assets of Odeo from the former backers. So essentially, this was a transfer of control and ownership to this new group of people who ran Obvious. Now, one of Obvious's projects was Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. And Twitter, you see from Evan Clark Williams' perspective, was a micro blog application. See, he was into blogging.
It sort of is.
So he called it, it's a micro blogger. I mean, you blog with 140 characters. So it was a micro blogger. And so they had this Twitter. Now, This Twitter idea came in March of 2006 when there was a day-long brainstorming session held by the Odeo board members. And it turned out that Biz Stone, who was currently a college student, was at that session. And he sort of came up with the idea of this microblogger deal. And so these guys said, yeah, that could be pretty good. And so they decided to jump on that, and then July of 2006, let's see, March, April, May, June, July. 4 months later, they launched Twitter. Now, in 2007, April 2007, Odeo was acquired by Sonic Mountain. The same month, Twitter was spun out as a separate company, so they sold all the Odeo stuff to Sonic Mountain. They kept Twitter. They spun that out as a separate company, and it was and Williams was a co-founder. He was a board member. He's also an investor. In 2008, Jack Dorsey was the original CEO. But in 2008, October of 2008, Williams became CEO, displaced Jack Dorsey, and Jack Dorsey became the chairman of the board. In February 2009, Twitter was the third most used social network based on their count of 6 million unique monthly visitors.
Wow.
And 55 million monthly visits. On October 4th, 2010, Williams stepped down as CEO to completely focus all of his time on product strategy. He decided being the CEO thing and worrying about budgets and everything else was too distracting. He wanted to get back to product strategy. As of February 2013, Twitter had 200 million registered users. Now, in 2013, the IPO, the initial public offering when they went public in 2013, produced a valuation of $31 billion.
Mm.
Williams received $2.56 billion out of that. So then Evan Clark Williams called his mom. He said, "Mom, you know, I know that, you know, I didn't graduate from college and all, but I got, you know, $2.56 billion. How's that compare with how you and Dad are doing?" And she said, "Well, Evan Clark, I think you did okay."
He's just rubbing her nose in it.
He is. Well, you know, money buys a lot.
It does.
Now, this is the thing that's ridiculous. As of April 2015, Twitter has over 300 million users. They are still losing money.
How is this possible?
And they're valued at like $30 billion, and they're losing money. I mean, this is like, there's something wrong with that formula.
Well, there's no advertising on Twitter.
No, they're trying to figure out how to monetize it.
There are some things that you can do where you can buy followers and junk like that, but I can't imagine that's going to do any good.
Now, in September of 2012, Williams and Biz Stone created a publishing platform called Medium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was interesting. I went back and watched a video. This is actually a very sophisticated blogging platform called Medium.
Mm-hmm.
And Evan Williams, he says, you know, he said, all I've been doing is like blogging stuff. I did Blogger, then I did Twitter. He says, do I really want to get back into this blogging thing again? He said, the problem is the technology and blogging platforms had not advanced much since he'd first developed blogging back with Blogger. And he said, you know, and he thought, well, they could do something much better than that. So they opened up Medium, and the idea is that Medium sort of self-formats. The blogger just puts in his content, and it figures out the font, it figures out the white space, it looks pretty. So you don't spend a lot of time tinkering with the format. It just does it for you.
Mm-hmm.
It has responsive web pages so that it looks beautiful on an iPhone, looks beautiful on an iPad, looks beautiful on a desktop. All that's done dynamically. And so he said, photos simply drop in. The text is easily managed. It has lots of white space framing the work. And fonts are selected automatically. So you don't, it just basically takes the work out of blogging. And he thought this is what bloggers would really want. So they're hoping to sort of take over the whole blogging industry with this tool called Medium. That's what he's working on. That's what he's excited about now. When you look at his videos when he talks about his work. Now, Williams and Stone announced that now that they're focused on Medium, they would be unwinding the Obvious Corporation. I think Obvious only had one product, Twitter.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty obvious.
It's pretty obvious. And so now it's obvious that there's nothing else there, so they decide to unwind Obvious. Now, Williams is he only eats fish, a pescetarian.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a pescetarian, only eats fish. He lives in San Francisco Bay with his wife, Sarah, and with whom he raises two children. So there you go. All you wanted to know about
everything you ever wanted to know.
Evan Clark Williams, as his mother called him, the co-founder of Blogger and Twitter.
Hey, I have breaking news, and that's not what I wanted. Listen. Right, breaking news. Blu-ray works in 5.8 gig.
Okay.
5.8 gig. Of these great things that will now work in 5.8 gig.
I think you've got a strategy going forward.
We need a breaking news sounder. Yes, is what we need.
That's what we do.
So I don't have to do it off my phone. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. It is Saturday morning, and we'll be back with the pop quiz in just a moment here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Stand by for more Tech Talk.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment. Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Masters in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. from writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Welcome back to Classroom of the Airwaves. And, of course, if it's a classroom, we're going to have an assessment. That would be a pop quiz, as
right.
we like to say.
Uh-huh.
If you get the correct answer to the pop quiz, you will win two tickets to fine dining to get Scoffia Dining Room or the Corim Dining Room, or else the dining room soon to be named at our Alexandria campus. Earlier in the show, I was talking about Evan Clark Williams. This probably is his name, but they haven't just...
You haven't gotten the memo yet.
I'm the last to know. We were talking about Evan Clark Williams. Of course, he's an internet entrepreneur who has started a number of very famous internet companies, including Twitter. But he is known as coining a particular word. What word would that be?
Well, if you know that word, you need to tell us really fast. So if you're calling from west of Sebastopol, California, it's 877-936-9333. From east of Key West, Florida, where you may not even be awake, 877-936-9333. Everybody else anywhere else, please call us on the wild card line, 877-936-9333, or...
And if you're calling from an oil rig in the North Sea, you can reach us on Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and your phone call will be forwarded free of charge to the studio.
Now, we tested this last week, and the Skype actually works. But yet, we've been together 7-8 years
yeah.
now. We have yet to get our first Skype call.
But we're waiting for that momentous day.
Okay. I may have to call him to disguise my voice someday.
Okay. Thieves could be using jamming technology to steal your car. Now, these days, radio waves are used by the receiver inside your car with that little remote control. And the key sends a signal, a very low-level signal to the car with a unique identifier and a command to either lock or unlock the car. But wireless communication, like any other radio usage, can be jammed.
Yes.
A device can be used to flood the radio spectrum used by the remote keys with interference, which stops the low-power systems of the remote keys from working. On December of last year, a 25-year-old man was convicted of using a signal jammer to break into cars in a greater Manchester area parking lot. This was in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Michael Fennell. He used a signal jammer that he bought for $54.
What?
And it jammed every key in the entire covered the entire parking lot. So for $50, you just turn on the jammer, you sit there. And then people think they're locking their car, and it doesn't lock.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they can't unlock their car. And so, sometimes people don't actually have a key to their car. They have to unlock the car.
Mm-hmm.
And if the jammer's there, they can't do it. So if you're worried that somebody may be jamming your key, when you lock your car, as you're walking away, watch for the flashing lights and the sound to indicate the car is successfully locked. And then you'll be okay.
And what if it's not?
Then you can go back and maybe lock the car manually.
That would be a
way to do it.
Okay, good. Doc, we have somebody on the phone who would like to talk to us. Let's go to line numero uno. This is Steve calling from Rockville, Maryland. Steve, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm terrific, and I'm enjoying your show. I just found it.
Thank you. Great. How did you find us?
I was just cruising down the thing, and I had the baseball game on this station last night. When I turned my radio on this morning, there it was.
Wow. That's what we call recycled listeners here in the
Very good.
Thank you for finding us.
So earlier in the show, I was talking about Evan Clark Williams, of course, the one of the co-founders of Twitter. What was the term that he's known for inventing?
Blog or blogger.
Blogger, correct.
We have a winner, Steve.
Very good. You win two tickets to Fine Dining, the Scoffia Dining Room, or the Crumb Dining Room, or the yet-to-be-named dining room in our Alexandria campus.
We just know it's not called McDonald's. That
yeah,
much
we do know that.
All right, Steve, thanks for listening. Stay with us, and I hope you're listening again next week. We're here every Saturday at 9 o'clock. We're turning you over now to Andrew Mitchell, who is our adjunct professor for prize distribution and crowd control here on Tech Talk Radio. We shall return in just a moment here with more of Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2. Hey, you're also on Twitter. Since we were talking about Twitter, you guys are at Stratford_EDU.
Yes, that is right.
So
we are on Twitter. That is right.
Follow us on Twitter, Stratford_EDU. We will be right back with more of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn by doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. You know, these security questions really aren't that secure.
No.
Google's published research showed that security questions aren't really secure, and they're quite easy to guess in less than 10 guesses, because people just, like, they might ask you something, what's your favorite food? 20% of the people put down pizza. So if you use that as your security question, people are going
to... They're going to guess that real...
They're going to guess that. I mean, or if you put down spaghetti, or if you put
well,
down... You just start,
you need to go London broil or something like that.
Yeah, and so, and it turned out that, or then people will put down the name of their dog, and then you go
Spot.
To... The, but then you but then you go to their Facebook page and you can see their dog and they have
and they
the,
put
name.
The name.
They put the name. And so what they discovered was that people were using the name of your children. And then you can look that up on these genealogy charts. So a lot of the information that people were putting down on their security question could either be looked up or it was easily guessed. So they said it just wasn't a very good. So Google is trying to get companies to use a different method of verification, either send you an SMS reset code. They'll send you a text message to your cell phone, and then you put that reset code in. That's a good idea. Or they'll send a reset code to an alternate email address, which only you have. So they're trying to get rid of these questions because they're just not really that secure. And a lot of these iCloud security hacks were done in that way.
Mm-hmm,
they were resetting the password because people weren't very smart on what they use, so they were getting that, you know, they had all those pictures now, that they were publishing when they got into iCloud accounts.
You did an entire segment once about how to pick the most secure password.
Yes.
You know, it's a combination of letters, numbers, characters.
It's a combination of letters, numbers, and characters. And what you can do, I mean, one easy way to do it is that you can just think up a sentence like, you know, the dog jumped over the car 25 times. And then you can just take the first letter of every word. It's easy for you to remember because there's a concept or a story.
Right.
But if somebody looks at the actual letters themselves, it doesn't make any sense. Because of the power of computers these days, it used to be that 8 characters was enough, but now you need 10 or 12 if you really want to have people try to spend a lot of time hacking it.
And the more time, more characters,
the longer it takes.
Exponentially increases the amount of time it takes them to hack into it.
That's right. And what we're doing now is when they hack, this is kind of a side note, when they're hacking, say, your account, they're not really putting the password in your account and then looking what you're happening. What happens is that hackers will actually penetrate a server and they'll download a file with all the passwords in it. And that file, the passwords are encrypted using hash code. And so what they're doing, they take that hash code and they try then to compute the password based on the hash code. So when I talk about it takes a long time with 12 characters, we're looking at a hash code cracking, not actually logging in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, and so the longer the better, but you definitely don't want to name it after, you know,
your dog
or
pet
anything,
canary
or anything like that. So I think this is a really very good idea. And this two-factor authentication, it's another word for that. If you want to change anything, it sends something to another email address or to your cell phone. That two-factor authentication is a very, very much better way to do it. Now, the website of the week. I want to get to that before
yes.
the end of the show because I tried to do it last week and then I didn't
you
get
ran
to
out of
it.
Time.
I ran out of time. It's called PlusGrade, and it's plusgrade.com, www.plusgrade.com. It's an online auction that lets you bid against other passengers for a better seat. Now, around 30 international airlines, ranging from Austrian Air to Virgin Atlantic, have signed up for the program. It was developed by a Canadian travel technology company. They just added four more characters a few weeks ago: Air, Gulf, South African Air, Swiss, and Qantas. Now, it works like this: a passenger gets an email notification from the airline that they can bid for a better seat. Or they can simply check on the airline's website to see if their flight is eligible. Then they enter their bid price along with their credit card information and learn to wait if the offer is successful, usually within 72 hours in advance of the departure. So if you say, well, you know, I don't want to pay $10,000 for that, you know, business class, but I'm willing to pay an extra $1,000,
mm-hmm.
so you just put in a $1,000 bid. Now, what the airlines will do, I mean, they'd rather sell the seat for $1,000 and have it be vacant.
Right.
So they'll wait, and if it's not going to be sold, if it's clear it's not going to be sold, then they'll take the $1,000. And so it's sort of like Priceline for upgrades. It's really a very good idea.
It is a great idea.
Now, to discourage users from making ridiculously low bids, PlusGrade gives airlines an option of showing a strength meter or a minimum bid. That sort of get you in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some passengers using Air New Zealand's one-up program, which allows for us to upgrade one class above where they are, reported having gotten upgrades from premium economy to business for only $750 on long-haul flights. I mean, that's a real deal. So that's a very nice thing. Go to plusgrade.com to check that out. I think that's a nice
yeah.
program. It's sort of interesting to see with these Android versions. They're all named after different desserts.
I'm hungry now.
So Google started naming its Android versions after different desserts. Actually, I hadn't really paid that much attention to it, but it's kind of interesting to see this thing. So like the current version of, like the Android version that's going to be released next, they're calling it Android M. But it's also known as macadamia nut cookie.
Oh, look at it's like they're naming hurricanes. But
that's right. And so, like Android 1.5 was called cupcake. Android 1.6 was called donut. Android 2.0 was called eclair.
Are you following along here? It's
Android
A B C D E F
was Froyo. What is that? Froyo.
It's a yogurt chain. frozen yogurt.
Oh, A, B, C, D, E, and then 2.3 was gingerbread.
Oh, you're just getting the A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am glad that I've got really...
Captain Obvious here.
Yeah, that's
I need
right.
to get Captain Obvious on the show.
Android 3 is honeycomb. Android 4 is ice cream sandwich. Android 4.1 is jelly bean. Android 4.4 is Kit Kat. And Android 5.5 is Lollipop. So obviously it's H-A-K-L-M. It's going to have to be named M.
Is macadamia? Is that
that's right. Macadamia nut cookie.
I got N already. Nutella.
Nutella. So there you go. Now that's the kind of information that's absolutely useless.
News you can use, not.
This is news that you can use at a cocktail party. Other than that, it's absolutely useless. And that, of course, is the kind of information that we specialize in.
And the beautiful blonde lady goes... Oh, you're so smart.
That's right. Okay, let's talk about the Solar Sisters.
Yes, please.
Solar Sisters Power Africa. Solar Sisters, it's a social business that uses sort of an Avon Lady type model to distribute solar equipment in Africa. It's been operating for about 5 years and now has around 1,500 entrepreneur women in three countries in Africa. The women buy solar lamps, solar chargers, solar panels at cost. The company produces them at a very low price, and they sell them to the ladies at cost. Then they mark them up as much as they want, and they sell it at retail, and they pocket the difference. Now, Solar Sisters provides training and support. They help saleswomen reach their goals. Catherine Lucy founded this business on the premise that women are the family members most likely to use solar equipment. Now, I wouldn't have really thought about that, but it turns out that in Uganda, Tanzania, and Nigeria, women are the ones who buy the kerosene for the lights. So they know exactly how much money they spend because they go out and they buy all this kerosene.
Interesting.
Okay, and they want to make certain that there's enough light so their kids can do their homework at night. So the ladies, the women, are really vested in how much it costs to buy kerosene and the value of having lights for their kids to do the homework. So it seemed logical that they'd be selling it. So these women are selling it, and they go out, and a typical woman will make anywhere from $10 to $200 a month. It's not enough to live on completely, but it's actually transformative. And so it gives them a very nice kind of part-time work, and it's also helping Africa, distribute solar power at a reasonable price. In Uganda and Tanzania, the $8 to $10 solar lamps are the most popular. In Nigeria, customers were most likely to buy higher output systems because in Nigeria, it's almost there's more totally unelectrified homes in Nigeria than there are in any other African countries. They have to buy higher power things. Solar Sisters plans to launch this next year in Kenya. That's really a great idea.
Yeah.
I love that idea. And this is a woman who just did that on her own to make that kind of thing happen. Let's talk about ad blocking. This is, you go to a website and they block the ads. And what I hate about it is sometimes the ads are so slow to load that it slows down the whole website. So there's AdBlock Plus, which will block the ads. And it turns out now, 30% of the ads are being blocked in France. 40% of the ad 40% in France. 30% in Spain, and 80 to 90% of the ads blocked are being blocked on game sites. So it really affects advertising revenue tremendously. Listen, we love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu and make certain to go to the Stratford website, stratford.edu. Tell them that you heard about all their programs on Tech Talk Radio.
And follow us on the Twitter machine at Stratford_U. This show will replay again at 2 o'clock today for those who may have missed it or tuned in late. See you next week.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFMHD2 Manassas, WTLPFMHD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics. Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Federal News Radio's DoD Wednesday. At 3, DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. At 4, in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a smart discussion on the issues and challenges of the defense community, plus daily DoD updates, mornings and afternoons, Monday through Friday. DoD Wednesday on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Baseball on the radio today. The Nats are in Cincinnati to take on the Big Red Machine. Coverage starts here on Federal News Radio at 3:30 this afternoon. Sunny and 90 degrees today. Right now, 77 outside our studios here in Northwest D.C.
Tech Tuesday. On